I want to start out, really, I just want to use one verse as a basis for our text this morning, and I'm in Isaiah chapter 26. I guess I've been like you and like everyone else, just been week to week. We sometimes catch a little bit of the news or a little bit of the flavor of the news or some of the current events and things that are happening. And I'll tell you, a lot of us have just been shaking our heads in disbelief recently and kind of not really understanding a lot of what's taking place. And I'm sure that'll probably continue to be the case. But in Isaiah chapter 26 and in verse 10, the prophet writes, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." I think that there are folks today, quite a number of people today, that don't understand this truth of God's word. There are some folks today that believe that if we could just show favor and kindness unto many of our criminals and our criminal element, we could somehow teach them righteousness and somehow give them understanding. And they may thereby, by receiving that, not want to commit crime anymore and not want to do terrible things anymore. I mean, I know that for a fact because I read about it and I hear about it. There are some district attorneys and judges and people in our court system today that want to show a lot of favor to criminals. They want to let many of them out. They've just committed a crime, in some cases a very heinous crime, and they want to turn around and let them right out of jail with almost no bond, let them out on the street to go, and they're free to go and commit more crime. And somehow they think this is a positive step, this is an improvement over what we've been doing. A lot of people don't understand the very principles that are set forth in the Word of God. Isaiah is so clear about this. All of us can understand the simplicity of what he's saying this morning. He says, go ahead, show favor, show kindness and favor and gratitude to the wicked. And he says, but yet he will not learn righteousness. He will not learn it. You cannot teach it to him. You can try hard as you want. You can have a lot of programs. You can have a lot of things set up in place to try to do this, but you'll not succeed. He will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly. He's already been dealing unjustly. He'll continue to deal unjustly. You cannot teach someone how to be just. You can't put it in their heart. He will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Another wise writer in the scriptures, a man named Solomon, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, he wrote that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, he says, because a sentence, because punishment, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, he said, it has an effect on men's hearts. He says it will cause their heart to be set on fully committing evil again and again and again. There is no excuse for someone being on death row for 30 years and still going through the appeals process. That is ridiculous. That is not executing sentence speedily. You know what Solomon is teaching us? You know what truth he's teaching us here and what principle? He says that punishment is, in fact, a great deterrent to crime and to evil. He said it's a deterrent. And he says, and if you don't do it speedily, if you waste time and you dilly-dally around and you don't apply the laws as they've been written and enforce the laws and the punishment as we should against criminals, he said it will only embolden criminals to do worse. Now, I'm just thinking about things I see occurring in our country today. And I know that tells me very quickly that many of our leaders don't understand the principles set forth in God's Word. Amen. They do not understand them. Prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 13, he asked a question. He says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Ethiopians, the ones that I've known and met, they have dark brown skin. I just saw an exhibit in the Smithsonian Institution a couple days ago of a leopard. It was a mounted leopard in a display, an exhibit, with an impala that it had killed, and it was up hanging on a limb. And that leopard was just full of spots. Jeremiah says, can a person change their skin, or can a leopard change the spots on his skin? Well, the answer is obviously no, they can't. He says, but if you could, he says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. He says, if you were able to do the impossible, then you could take someone who is very accustomed and very comfortable and used to doing evil and get them to do good. In other words, Jeremiah says you can't do it. He says you can't take someone who's accustomed to doing evil and just suddenly, one day, cause them to begin doing good. He says you can't do it. It's not possible. David wrote in Psalms 14, he said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. I think we just got a little clue as to the seat of the problem. He says, the fool hath said in his heart. This is the seat of corruption of a fool and or a wicked person is his heart. It's a heart problem. He says he has said in his heart that there is no God. He says they are totally corrupt and they've done a lot of terrible and abominable things. There is none that doeth good. Now this is the natural state of man that we find man in because of the fall of Adam and our relationship to Adam, our federal head. The head of all mankind. That's what a natural heart is like. But I believe we just got a clue as to the real root of the problem, and it's the heart. Amen. It's a bad heart. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you see what all of these Bible writers are sharing with us and teaching us about these principles? The seed of the problem and the root of the problem with all of evil in this world is the heart. It's the heart of men. It is a bad heart. I mean, Jeremiah just lays it out. He says the heart is deceitful above all things. Deceitful means that it's trickery. It means that it'll say one thing and do another. It'll do one thing and really want to do something else. You can't believe what a deceitful heart is telling you because it's not the truth. It's deceitful above all things. And he says that it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, you go over there to Jeremiah 17:10, go to the next verse, and it tells you who the examiner of the hearts is, and it's God. It's only God. He's the examiner of the hearts. But who can know it? Certainly not you and I. You and I cannot look upon someone's heart and see these things inside of it. You remember when God had Samuel to go and had all of Jesse's sons brought before him, and God was going to show Samuel which one to anoint with the oil, and he brought all the sons before him, and one by one, and one of them came, maybe the first one came, and then Samuel said to himself, he said, surely this is him. Surely it's this one. And God says that you look on the outward appearance of a man, he says, but I look on their heart. It's not this one. And he made all the sons pass by, and in fact, he said, is this all of them? Is there any more sons? And of course, David, the youngest, was out in the sheepfold keeping the sheep. He was so young, no one thought, Jesse didn't think that was possible for him to be the one to be anointed, but of course it was. Why? Because God was looking upon the heart. The heart is what matters to God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus said that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Do you want to know why criminals commit crime? Do you want to know why they do heinous things and abominable works before you and before God? It's because their heart is corrupt. They have an evil, terrible, corrupt heart. The heart is the problem. Jesus says that murders come out of the heart. Well, I thought that the reason that we have so many criminals today is because the breakup of the home. And I thought it's because people have had a rough childhood and they didn't have this or they didn't have that. Well, I'll tell you, none of those things are good. None of those things have contributed to anyone, I'm sure, having a good life and having a good upbringing. Certainly, the dissolving of the family unit, I believe it's just one of the tools that Satan has used to afflict our country. The dissolving of the natural family unit that we used to have. It is a big impact. But that's not why they commit crimes. They commit crimes because their heart is bad. It is a bad heart, and it's the seat of corruption. How is it that we could fix that? Well, a lot of people think we just need to be nicer to criminals. We just need to let them out of jail and not charge them any money, just let them out. We need to shorten their sentences. We need to be more lenient upon crime, and somehow that's going to magically fix things. They will do better. Some people believe that way, but I'll tell you, that does not align with the principles taught in God's Word. It will not align. It will not go along with it. Man has a heart problem. The things that you and I see today that are taking our breath away is because of bad hearts. Period. Bad hearts. There's only one thing that can fix this heart, and it's God. You and I do not possess the ability to change someone's heart. As much as I would love to, as much as you would love to, I mean, isn't this true? Don't some of us have members of our own family that we would like to encourage them to change a few things in their life so that they might do better and not be in so much trouble and not be struggling with life and so much? Don't we all have members of our own family like that? We love to help them. But you just can't change someone's heart to the degree that God can. There's only one fix, and it's a new heart. And I know we've been there before, but how about in Ezekiel chapter 36, how about we look at this new heart for just a moment? This is the only solution to the heart problem of man. This is it. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and in verse 25, The prophet is writing here and speaking for what God is about to do to his people. In verse 25, he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Did you notice who's going to take the action? Did you notice who's going to be active here in doing the movement? It's going to be God. He says, "I will do this. I will cleanse you." I believe he's even referring to the, when he's talking about, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean," I think he's referring to the act of regeneration. We'll look at that in just a minute. But he says in verse 26, "A new heart will also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." God says, "I'm going to fix the problem. I'm going to fix the problem of the woefully sinful and corrupt heart that man has. No one else can do this." God says the only repair, the only fix that'll work is you having a new heart and a new spirit put within you. God says, "And I will do this. I will do it. I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you, and I'm going to cleanse you, and I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I'll put it within you. And now you're going to have a heart of flesh, and now you're going to have a conscience, and now you're going to have a thing, well, a heart that can feel for the things of God and for the love of God and for the love of one another and for the love of the kingdom of God and for his church. You're going to be able to feel that because now you have a heart of flesh." God says, "I'll do this surgery." He is the most amazing heart surgeon that there is. God's going to give us a new heart. God said, he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, "I'm going to make a new covenant with you." This goes right along with Ezekiel 36 here and us receiving a new heart and a new spirit from God. This is the only way that the heart problem is remedied, is we get a new heart and a new spirit from God. And he says in Jeremiah 31, he says, "Here's the new covenant." God gives a promise. He says, God makes a covenant with his people. And he says this. He says, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts." Who's going to do it? God said, "I'll do it. I will put my law in their inward parts." You mean none of the rehabilitation programs that man has come up with are going to be able to do any good? They're not going to make any improvement to this heart situation? No, they're not. God says, "I'll do it. I'll give you a new heart." And he says, "And I'm going to put my laws, I'm going to write them in your inward parts, and I'm going to write it in your hearts, and they will be their God, and they shall be my people." There's the new covenant that God has promised, how he's going to save his people. He says, "I'm going to fix the heart." What a dramatic change is needed to fix a corrupt heart. You know, man has a lot of ideas. Man has lots of ways that he believes are a good pathway to follow. There's ways to attack a problem. There's ways to dissect a problem. And there's ways to develop remedies and solutions and things that he thinks will work. But I'll tell you, man has come up with a lot of solutions for bad hearts, and none of them have worked yet. None of them have worked. Only God's solution has worked. A new heart and a new spirit within us. God writing his laws and his precepts and his commandments in our heart. I can't put them in your heart. You can't put them in my heart. We can't put them in our children's hearts. Only God can do that. When he writes them in the fleshy tables of the heart, they're there to stay. And no one can erase them. Even Satan, as much as he would like to come along with a big eraser, and he would like to erase God's laws and his precepts out of your heart. But he can't do it. God has fixed them in there to stay, and there they will stay. God has fixed this problem. What a dramatic change when God undertakes a heart surgery. Do you remember some of the descriptions used in Titus chapter 3 concerning the act of regeneration that God performs on one of his children? Titus 3:3, Paul writes, he describes how we were before we had a heart transplant. Listen at the words. Paul says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We were deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You know what was our problem? You know what was wrong with us? We had a heart problem. Just like everyone else that has the same issue, we had a heart problem. And look what it produced. Look at the fruit that our heart produced when it was in this state and in this situation. It was hateful and hating one another, living in malice and envy. I see people today that are living that way, and I know instantly what's wrong. They have a heart problem. They have a heart problem, a corrupt heart, a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. But did you notice that Paul says this was us? He says we ourselves were these things. But after that, notice what happens. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That word appeared to me gives me the thought of something instantaneously appearing. It's not like it just was fuzzy and began to come into view, and it took a long time and was a long process to take place, but it says the kindness and love of God appeared. Instantly. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. I promise you, Paul says it was not anything you did. Though you hopefully have done a few good works, it wasn't that that caused the kindness and love of God to appear. It wasn't your works. Nor was it the sinner's prayer. Nor was it you inviting God to come into your heart. That's not what caused this to appear. It just said it appeared. It appeared. God appeared. We were once in this terrible situation, but suddenly this appeared. The kindness and love of God appeared. It just came. How did it happen in verse 5? Not by our works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here is the sprinkling of the clean water. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. God's kindness and his love toward man appeared. By his mercy, according to his mercy, he saved us. Here's an eternal salvation. There's no question about this. Here's an eternal salvation. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Did you notice how passive we were in receiving the kindness and the love of God? In receiving the act of regeneration and the washing of regeneration, you and I were completely passive. We were passive recipients of it. It wasn't according to anything we did or said. but it just appeared. Because of God's mercy, it appeared. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What was it? It was mercy and it was grace. You and I were saved by God's mercy and by His grace. That's how it happened. That's how He sent the act of regeneration upon us, and we got a new heart and a new spirit, and He cleansed us. And He wrote His laws in our heart, and they're there to stay. And He gave us a conscience. And now we have no desire to do those things, those terrible things that were listed just before that. Now we have a new heart. Now we have a new spirit. We've been sprinkled with the clean water. We've been born from above. We've been born again. We've experienced the circumcision made without human hands. This is the circumcision that God makes upon our hearts. The ultimate heart surgeon, the consummate heart surgeon, the Lord God. We've been saved by His grace. We've just had a Saul of Tarsus experience. We were foolish, disobedient, serving divers lust and pleasures. I didn't go over there, but I could have went over to Ephesians 2:2, where it said that we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That fits right along here with all these descriptors. We were hateful and hating one another, living in malice and envy, but all of a sudden something has changed. Something appeared, didn't it? The kindness and the love of God at regeneration. How else can you explain what happened to that evil man, Saul of Tarsus? How do you explain what happened to him? I'll tell you, there was a man now walking down a road heading toward a city named Damascus, and he was going there with a purpose and with an intent. He was going to arrest God's people. Anyone he could find that claimed or followed the name of Jesus Christ, he was looking for them. And he had letters of authority that he could take them and he could arrest these people and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment and in some cases death. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I'll tell you, that just about describes Saul of Tarsus, did it not? And then what happened in his life? What changed that evil man that all he wanted to do was persecute God's church and God's people? What happened? Did the preacher come along with the offer, with the gospel offer? Anything like that happen? Or did something just appear in Saul of Tarsus' life as he walked down that road? Did a light brighter than the noonday sun just appear, and he fell upon his knees? He fell upon the earth when God appeared. The kindness and the love of God appeared to that man. Oh, what a change took place in his life. I'll tell you, he got a new heart. He got a new spirit. God wrote His laws and His precepts and His commandments upon Saul's heart. You know what he did from that day forward? He spent the rest of his life preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God and suffering because of it. What a change. You think that's an amazing change? You think Paul is some kind of a unique and curious case, but it exactly describes you and I as well. Our change was no less significant than his. When regeneration occurred in our heart. God is the consummate heart surgeon. So we had a heart problem. We figured out by the scriptures we read and we looked at enough scriptures and we figured out that man has a heart problem. And there's no repairing it. There's no fixing it of our own accord. Man has not the wisdom nor the ability to be able to do it. Only God. We figured out how it's going to happen. But you know now, once we have a new heart and a new spirit, once God has done this marvelous work of grace and mercy upon us, once he's fixed our heart and he's circumcised our heart with the circumcision made without human hands, now we can be taught. Now we can learn some things. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 2 for a moment. Now we can be taught and now we can learn because the heart is in a different condition. Solomon writes in Proverbs 2. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures," he's talking about wisdom here. He says, "thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now we have a heart that can be taught. Now we have a heart, and God has equipped us with the ability to grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in understanding about him. Until God made the change, we were shut out to these principles and to this learning about God. But now God has fixed it where we can learn about him. And these principles mean something. He says if we'll seek it like we were looking for silver, like we were searching for hidden treasure, he said, then you'll understand about the fear of the Lord. You know what's been missing out of every corrupt heart that ever existed? Is the fear of the Lord. There was no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God. But now we can have it. Now we have the fear of God. God has placed that in our hearts. What did James say? James says, "If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally and upbraideth not." Would you like some more wisdom? Why don't you ask God for it? Because he'll give it. He'll give it liberally. Which one of us could not use more wisdom in our lives today, right? Which one of us doesn't need more wisdom? I sure need it. I feel like every day I'm needing more and more. James says, ask God for it, and he'll give it to you. Solomon says, ask God. He says, seek it, look for it. Ask God and search for that wisdom like it's a hidden treasure. He says, God will give this wisdom, and out of his mouth comes understanding and knowledge. Job said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Solomon wrote in Proverbs 16:6, he says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." And listen at this, "And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." I thought it was being nice to them. I thought it was letting them back out on the street and telling them, please don't do that anymore. No, Solomon said it's by the fear of God men depart from evil. That's how they leave it and turn away from it. When God fixes their heart and now they have a fear of God. The ultimate heart surgeon. You can't legislate morality, can you? You know, as we see more and more evil taking place, what's the first thing that many people today think? We need more laws. We simply need more laws on the books. We don't have enough laws. People don't understand they're not supposed to do some things. You just can't legislate morality. The reason why is there's a heart problem. That's the seat of the problem and the root cause of it. It's the heart. You can't legislate morality into an evil and wicked and deceitful heart. it is not possible. Aren't you thankful this morning that God has fixed your heart? That He's done a surgery upon you and He's given you a new heart and a new spirit, and that He has written His laws upon your heart, deeply seated in your heart, never to be lost. You'll never have to worry about backsliding and somehow one day waking up thinking, you know what, I'd like to go steal something today. I'd just love to. You're not going to have to worry about having a thought come over you like that. Because God has placed His laws in your heart and He's written them there. So effective. I'll tell you, when I write things, sometimes they bleed or fade away or they get erased. I write things on the computer sometimes and they get lost forever. I don't know where they went. They went into no man's land. But when God writes His laws on your heart, they're there to stay. Here's just a few things that the wise man Solomon says happens to you when we receive the fear of God in our hearts. You see, we're living in a world today that doesn't fear God. Can you tell? Can you tell that there's a lot of people around us that don't fear God? They have heart problems. All these things Solomon says happens and is a result of the fear of the Lord. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to know where to start looking for knowledge? Start with the fear of the Lord. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. We have plenty of that today around us, do we not? Evil, pride, and people that are arrogant. There's plenty of that. He says, but not so for those who have the fear of the Lord. He says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. He says, the fear of the Lord gives us strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Don't you just have the feeling today that some of God's little children are getting caught in snares of death in certain ways in which they're trying to live their life? They're just struggling. They're making poor choices in life and they're struggling over and over and over today. God's little children. But Solomon said that the fear of God is the fountain of life, and it'll help you depart from the snares of death. He says the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. He says the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. Are you satisfied day to day and week to week? Are you by and large satisfied with the way things are going? I hope that you are in your life. I hope that you feel God's blessings in your life in a great way. I hope that you feel the peace of God in your life. I tell you, a lot of people don't have peace in their lives right now, do they? I hope you feel peace in your life. Solomon says, the fear of God tendeth to life. Those of us that have the fear of God in our heart, he said, it tends to our life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He says, by humility in the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. How? By humility and by the fear of the Lord. All those good things, riches, honor, and life. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. I hope that's something we realize this morning that God has put and He's planted within our hearts. Someone who doesn't have a new heart and a new spirit, and all they have is the deceitful heart that's so desperately wicked, someone is missing these things. That person does not have the fear of God. But I'm thankful this morning, every one of us have the fear of God planted in our heart. And Solomon said, all these good things, all these beautiful, wonderful things come because we have the fear of God deep seated in our heart. I'm glad to know these things. I hope that you're glad to know them. I hope that it helps you as we continue to see the world devolve around us and we see more and more problems with man and things that we can't quite understand. It can't get our arms around them and our minds around some of the things that's happening. Always remember this about the heart. Remember that the heart is the seat of all those problems, and only God can fix that. May God bless and keep each one of you this morning.